Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much for being with us this evening. My name is Pimelo Mutine, and it's our Thursday edition of Point of View. Joe. So yesterday we had a conversation with the DA candidate, mayoral candidate in Tshwane, Silas Brink, giving us his take on how the year with Dr. Nasipi Moya has been going in the city of Tshwane. Well, we agreed, we disagreed on a few things, and a lot of you also called in to tell us what you think, and we thought it's also very good. We had actually asked the mayor to talk to us yesterday, but they were quite busy, and she committed to talking to us today. So we're going to have a conversation with her about a year in on the hot seat and how that's been going. So looking forward to that. Of course, we are looking at a breaking news story. The police currently, we are told, have gone to Brown Mokgotsi's property. He himself has been speaking on some media channels saying that there was a raid at his property. And so we are watching that story very closely. And as and when the details come through, we'll definitely give them to you. Let me bring in the Tshwane Mayor, Dr. Nasipi Moya, on the line with us this evening. A very good evening to you, Mayor. Thank you so much for your time.
Evening, Stemelo. How are you?
It's been a year. It's been a year. Can you believe it?
It's been a year. My sister is asking if I was asked to submit a song again.
It's been a year, and you... Yes. I mean, I can't believe... You were here a year ago, exactly.
Yes.
And how much... has your, and it's an interesting question for me because you were anyway in the city, so you know how the ins and outs of the city work. But as a mayor, the pressure is different, is it not?
It's very different. It's very different because, I mean, as a deputy mayor, you only care for the portfolio that's allocated to you. As an executive mayor, all portfolios are yours.
Yeah.
And then you can allocate to other people. But ultimately, you take accountability and the responsibility for everything.
Mm.
And it's been a very interesting year, I must say, as Pimelo, that I knew Tshwane, and I think that was my base. Mm. I know Tshwane, I understand the governance. But I did not know society, the other side.
Mm.
So you know how to draft a report, you know how to read a report for accountability.
Mm.
But I had not pushed myself to say the decisions that we take, who are we taking it for? Do I understand these people?
Mm.
Do I know what makes them tick?
Mm.
And when you touch here, how will they respond?
Mm.
When you so it's been a journey of just learning society in Tshwane,
because
and the people and the culture.
Because as you say, I mean, you know, I've just mentioned the fact that you knew Tshwane, but you had been a technocrat for a while. You understand the system. You understand all of that with your eyes closed. But now, even when things are not your responsibility, we look to you to fix them.
Yes, but also I think for me, it redefined what I understood to be leader, like, you know, to be a leader. And, you know, you think you understand, you've seen people leading before, but you've never led.
Yeah.
Led in a sense where you say, whatever I do, whatever I think, how does it benefit the next person?
And personally, that has been different. You know, I say just now, I've just said that, you know, even when things are not your responsibility, and I want to just elaborate on that. And I'm speaking, for instance, about managing a coalition. So at the end of the day, you're managing a coalition, and that can be hard. You know, so if it was Action SA that was fully running the city, we'd have a different conversation. But apart from the imperatives of the city, you are also managing politics. How has that been?
It's been, let me put it this way. I joined this coalition with an understanding that I am not fully in control of it. My party is the third biggest party in the coalition.
Mm.
I happen to be a non-political politician who's now supposed to lead the coalition by virtue of being the executive mayor. And so I had to humble myself because of these factors. that I understand there's no report that I can get to be approved in council that I would submit in my capacity as the executive mayor without all these other political parties. That if I don't spend time with colleagues explaining things, getting their buy-in, sharing the vision with them, asking what their vision is. So that process has been a very journey of me being very humble to say I can't be arrogant just because I've got the title. I still don't have the power. Which is quite, different. And because I don't approach power like other people would, for me, the power that I need is for me to be able to exercise the legislative responsibility that I have as the executive mayor. But also understanding that there's nothing I can do, even if you've got this position, if you don't have the support of others. But also what has been fascinating in the coalition, I mean, we're a coalition of 9 political parties. You'd understand, for instance, the bigger ones is the African National Congress, the EFF, ourselves, and then we've got other the progressive caucuses with like 1 member each. But our ideologies are quite different. What has been interesting is our negotiations in terms of, like, you know, when we have to make a decision and you get all these different views. And it just somehow, it works. That at the end of the day, we agree on something that we're all comfortable with. Yeah. So for me, as a scholar of nation building, that has been very fascinating. I'm not complaining at all that we have to take longer to make decisions, to arrive at decisions, because we have to make sure that everyone feels part of the decision. But it has not been smooth, as you are saying. If it was just one party dominating, the decision making is quite smoother. But this time, and also remember, each and every one of these parties and their leaders, they want to see themselves benefiting from the coalition, and everything, you must negotiate everything.
So for someone who has worked as a technocrat, I think you have a bit of an advantage, having understood the gaps in the systems, and where the gaps can also lead to corruption and all sorts of other things. I'm trying to see how you are managing what you know could be systems that fail. And we hear a lot about municipalities and capacity. With all the greatest intentions in the world, how are you navigating dealing with, number one, the morale of the people who are doing the work inside the offices, and the corruption itself, which clearly is a big issue in the country at the moment?
I think in terms of the starting point of our coalition was inheriting a highly demoralized workforce. So the issue of the salary increases that were not paid, the bonuses that were not paid when they were supposed to be paid. Of course, that was what we inherited.
And that strike that took so long. Remember that strike?
Exactly. 3-month strike. And I mean, the way it ended, it was not because there was a consensus. It was because it had to end. And, you know, so we inherited this workforce. And so when we came in, I think what, for me, what was important was to be with the workers in the work that they do. And you would have seen when we started, we very much were having operations. And I think it helped us, especially for the low-ranking officials, to understand that we are with them. And we want to understand where the gaps are in the systems and how we work with them. But also in terms of, obviously, we had to get into discussions in terms of how do we make sure that what happened in the past to them, which was not good for them and their families, that it won't happen again. And we started negotiating and building a relationship with labor. But that is just, that was more symbolical. Now, symbolic. Now, when we then come to the decision making and dealing with these things, for me, I believe in being systematic and institutionalizing the responses to the challenges that you have. So because of the nature of our coalition, our decision making is centralized. that we have our makeup, so we don't necessarily take decisions. Yes, you do take decisions at a departmental level, but the key decisions are either taken by the committee, which is makeup, or through the war rooms that would have, whether for economic growth, for service delivery. But all the members are there with their teams, with their management. So whatever decisions that we are making, we are making as a collective of both the political leadership and the administrative leadership. And then the MMCs always, you always insist, MMCs, please go to your department and make sure that they understand why we are taking the decisions that we are taking. But on the side of corruption, I think what was very helpful for us is that we did not send mixed messages. When we realized, for instance, there are people who were stealing transformers, no one was saying, let's first check who's stealing so we can check if we are okay with it. We all, you know, rallied behind the, you know, the investigation, make sure we find these people, and we all spoke out on it. So I think on the side of corruption, even when we looked at the balance of, for instance, the irregular unauthorized wasteful expenditure that we got as a balance, we actually put monies aside during the adjustment budget to ensure that we investigate that irregular expenditure. So that was the decision that was taken. And so I think with those key decisions, the officials didn't think that there's a room to hide. I think that's what helped. But there's work that we need to do, and we are doing. I did release a statement today about the work that the department that is mandated to basically be a custodian of good governance, our group audit and risk department. And we need to capacitate that department. We need to capacitate certain units in the PMPD that assist with investigation and doing the work. So the work is not necessarily, yes, the leadership must continue to send that message that is unequivocal in terms of, we're not going to tolerate any corruption here. If you've done something wrong, you must be disciplined. Don't call politicians to come and help you. If you are fired, you are fired. I mean, there was a group that was fired because they had an unauthorized strike. When we came in, they tried to bring us on board, and we actually said, no, let's understand the case. After it was explained that, no, these people were, this is the reason why they were released, we didn't get involved, and those people were fired ultimately. So I think from a leadership point of view, we still have a responsibility to send that message unequivocal that if you do something wrong, our responsibility is to the residents of Tshwane primarily. But secondly, to put to in place those committees and the structures that will enable us, one, to talk about these things openly, that we understand there's corruption in the system. How do we detect it? What do you need as administration, as support from our side? But also, when it's detected, what are the like the ways in which we deal with corruption? But corruption is very difficult, as Kamelo, I won't lie. When I realized that in Tshwane, if you look at the number of officials that were arrested, we had an official from Group Property where we were on site. So I was there the previous day. Then this person heard that I was there in this property looking for a lease. They then offer the lease to this business owner and say, we'll sell you a lease for 30,000 rand. We get this feedback the following day. I promise you, by 3 p.m., we already had all the permission to get this person arrested. That one was from Group Property. The other one was arrested from Group Finance. This one, if you owe the city 10 million rand, they ring fence your account, you keep paying them, and in our system, we can't detect you.
Oh, my word.
I know. And Gurulian and Joburg, they have similar cases, the way.
Yeah.
They ring fence, The other ones, they just, you know, they steal transformers, they sell to their friends, they're part of their ring. And there were a couple of them that where they were arrested. And when you look, it's not in one department. It's not, and it's normally low-ranking officials that are doing these things. So that's what I'm saying. I mean, corruption is endemic in this country. Yeah. And the city of Tshwane is not insulated from that. But I was even saying at our MACO meeting on Wednesday, when we make these arrests, when we fire people for this, the city manager must communicate to the staff members so that they understand that this is what happens to you when you do that. Just also just to deter them, even those who are still thinking of doing it.
You know, for many who've sat on your chair, Haman Skral has been, you know, what defines many of the mayor's tenures. And I remember that it was such a big moment when you started opening those taps. It's one of those difficult projects, is it not? While you are trying to give us an update on the work being done, you have, again, an issue that you and I have spoken about, the tankering system, this water tankering system that while you're trying to do good for the citizens, people are meddling, people are taking residents for a ride and having to manage all of that while you are promising the residents of Haman Skral water once and for all.
I must say, Auspimelo, the Haman Skral water matter, it breaks my heart at this stage. Because this project, when it was initially launched, it was supposed to be concluded at the end of June 2025. Meaning all those residents that have been receiving dirty water in their taps, they should have gotten their clean water now. But it's just one of those projects that there's a problem after problem. And I mean, to a point where we go and check the project there, and every time you go there, there's a different set of problem. And I mean, we're not seeing eye to eye, even with the implementing agent, which is Mafalis Water. Because it's gotten to a point where even councillors are saying, don't give us any specific, don't give us dates. Because every time you promise a date, absolutely, you don't deliver.
Yeah.
And what is worse is that these residents, remember, they used to have enough water to do other things except to drink the water. And then would augment with, so we'll give them the tankering to drink. But the rest of the things they would do with their water, which was not clean. Now, with all this Mafalis Water project, we have even taken the water that was dirty to a point where residents say, why don't you just give us the dirty water and we go back to what we've known? And that's the bad thing. And the issue of the water tankers, we've tried as much as possible to be very, you know, cost effective in terms of how we're doing it, to a point where we even reduced the number of days in which we deliver. We deliver on certain days, not necessarily in Haman Skral, but in other areas, and because we could see that we were not we were going to deplete the budget, in fact go over the budget. So contrary to the communication that we are spending more on water tankers, we've actually reduced cost on water tankers. We've got 15 water tankers that we purchased that are owned by the city. So because I mean it's not that we are blind to what is happening. We know that there is, you know, what the minister called the water mafia. We know that we are not immune from those challenges. So the way for me, and I said this to the portfolio committee of COPTA, where I've seen that we are not immune from this challenge is when we made the decision to reduce the number of days in which we deliver. And then there were people with the rifles not wanting water tankers to collect from the hydrants because they wanted to force our hand in not reducing. So then I realized, no, then we also have a problem. But at some point, we got to the agreement that we're not going to spend more than we have, but we'll make sure that there's enough water for the residents. And so then we then said, no, no, we need our own water tankers. In case of emergency, we've got drivers. We then said that, so we've got 15 water tankers that the guys are just busy fitting, and soon we'll unveil them and start using them for emergencies. So there's no intention to spend more money on water tankers. In fact, what we want is that the water tankering must reduce, and also in early next year we should be starting with boreholes in informal settlements and communal taps, which is something that I've asked for from day one, because the problem with the water tankering is that there is a concern that sometimes that water is not even getting tested. So we are saying, instead of relying on this water tankering, where residents say, we don't want this, why do you keep giving residents what they don't want? So we are then looking at alternative sources of water, where we have a bulk supply in the area, give the residents communal taps and ask them to protect it. Where we are able to put boreholes, we do that. Where we need to use water tankers, let's use our water tankers.
Knowing what you know now, what would you have told yourself when you walked into that office?
Breathe more. I'm very impatient. And and government by nature, and because I always comfort myself that this is an institution of the people. And so you can't make decisions as if it's your home, like it's not your private space. I think just be patient, but not too patient. But I think that's what I would have told myself. I have to force myself now to be patient at some point. But sometimes my impatience helps to just put pressure. But that's the lesson that I would have told myself.
Dr. Maya, I've got Norman. Norman is calling from Pretoria. I think he has a question. Norman, good evening and thank you so much for calling.
Good evening. Thank you for taking my call. Good evening to the executive mayor.
You're welcome.
Mine is simple. We are in Pretoria East, the side of Rustfontein, which is Woodland Shopping Center. There are two squatter camps. There's one Plastic View and one next to Woodlands. The one next to Woodlands, there had been a court order that was there for years to say that people must be moved from there. Politicians went there recently and there was some fire that happened and they said people will not be back. The people are back there. Mm. My son has been robbed. Daylight. And even at night, twice, and the people vanish into the squatter camp areas. That's the first one. The second one, when you're looking at Hammond's Kraal and the water tankers, those water tankers are trucks with dojos on top of them. So they're not even a standard water tank, but trucks with dojos on top of them. So for me, when the cholera epidemic broke up, I could understand why, because first of all, also the people are at force unto themselves, the way they drive on the road, it is just disgusting. So I want the mayor to explain to me, and I'm grateful the last point I had the mayor speaking of insourcing their own trucks for water tankers. I think it's a progressive move, because I think we've been taken for a rant. These people create these a crisis by vandalizing the water system, the plants, and so on. So, big up to the mayor. But the squatter camps really concern me, because I don't know if there's ever gonna be some move on it. Thank you very much.
Before Norman goes,
yes.
Can I just talk about symmetry review?
He's still here. Yeah.
What's the name of the squatter camp?
Okay, there's one, there's Plastic View on the Villa Boa.
Okay, no, it's fine.
Then there's another one at the Woodland Shopping Center, just behind the Woodlands Shopping Center. There's another squatter camp. And might I add, these are all foreign nationals. I suppose majority of them might be foreign nationals, because you can hear and see. So for me, I'm concerned that this is happening and it's kept on happening. I mean, the time that Ubekitele was Minister of Police, my son met him at Hartsfontein Police Station opening a case where his cell phone was robbed, where he's been at knife point robbed, even of earrings. People took it out of his ears. So I'm not happy about this. I feel really upset about it.
All right. Hang on there, Norman. Don't leave, Mayor.
I think on the issue of the squatter camp, so these two are basically, what we're doing about it, the history doesn't matter now. So we went in, as Norman says, most of the people that are there are foreign nationals, most of them illegal. So what we have done is the city, we have purchased land where we can relocate South Africans that are in those spaces. By the way, that space is supposed to give this over 2 billion rand worth of investment project that we want to take to that space. And so we need to relocate the South Africans, but we can't do that to deal with the foreign nationals without Home Affairs. So back in May, with Minister of Home Affairs, we did an operation there. It was not successful. So we need to go back, and we are now working with the Home Affairs, SAPS, the province, ourselves, where now when we go in, we said we're not leaving until we are done, because we just need to relocate. So the only thing that we need is the date that all the different organs of state that we need for that operation can agree on. And I was saying to the colleagues actually earlier today, it cannot be next year. We need to look for a date before we close. So that's what we are doing about it. And of course, the safety issues, and also that squad can be just an eyesore. For us to want to attract investment in that space, to have that's what I came there. It's actually not anything good to look at. On the issue of the water tankers, Norman is right. I mean, the biggest concern was, as I said earlier, was the issue of safety of the water that we're giving to the people. Mm. And so we do routine checking, the testing of the water, the cleaning of the tanks, just to make sure that they comply. But it's still, even I am concerned that I wonder if some of these water tankers are giving people clean water. So that's why we are saying we need to do better. One of the ways to do better is to make sure that we are in control of that supply. Even if there's a need for a water tanker, it must be a water tanker that we are in charge of. We can clean. And of course, you're upsetting a whole economy, because there are people whose business is to render. And so we're not blind to that fact. But at the end of the day, we must do what is good for the citizen.
We've got Zonke in Pretoria. Zonke, thanks for holding. Good evening and welcome.
Thank you. Good evening to the mayor. Mayor, you are not going to get everything right the first time, but you are doing a good job. You know, I stay in Montana. I've seen the improvement. And then also when I go to the city center, to the municipality offices, it's like their mood has changed. You know, they are saying here, hello?
Yes, she's listening, and we're all here.
Yes, yes, sir.
The guys there are saying...
Oh, Zonke, your line is not good.
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead. Yes.
So I think your leadership style is inspiring the guys to do more. But just to caution you, there is no party that's going to get an outright majority.
Yeah.
So the way you're working with EFF, AMC, Congo Client, and everybody else over again, you should improve on it. Even I said earlier that when you write on your tweet, do acknowledge them if you are talking about the their department. But I think you guys I'm voting for you 2026, and all the best.
Thank you so much, Ronke. When I say we, I speak on behalf of the collective. And there's no issue within the coalition. I understand the sensitivities from those who are outside the coalition, but we talk for all of us. When we say we, it's because we understand that those decisions were made by all of us, and the work was done by all of us. But I take the point. Thank you so much.
So, Mayor, I've got one last voice note before I let you go.
It's Solofelo here. My questions to the mayor is this. When are they reinstating the unfairly dismissed workers from 2023? It's been 2 years now, and they've been accused of damaging the city properties, and Brink claimed that they opened the cases against them, but it's been 2 years, nothing is happening. And then these workers never received a proper disciplinary procedures, and they were unfairly dismissed. So since they're having the engagements of the 3.5 with the union, what about the dismissed, 43 dismissed, because of the two were given dismissed letters while they were in hospital, and unfortunately they've passed away. So there's the 41 which is remaining today. And then do they have any proof that these 41 are the ones who were doing the damages? Because of we're talking about lives, that today there's no salary that is coming, and children are no longer happy, and families are no longer receiving what they used to receive, how or when are they going to fix the injustice that happened to these workers?
Mayor?
I won't be as explicit as I would like to be, because it's a bit of a sensitive matter. We are talking to the unions. They've brought the issue to us. In fact, tomorrow we even have a meeting with MEC of COCTA. It's one of the items on the agenda that we need to talk on. But also there's a court case that we need to consider about the same. So it's not something that I would like to, if you allow me, not to be explicit. But it's something that we are talking about. There are kind of like considerations that we need to make. In terms of how do we deal with it because of that court order and the implications of us not following the court order. But it's something that we are talking to the unions about.
May I've just got one last question here, and this is from a listener who sent an SMS, and this person is asking, you know, what you're going to do about the extortion ring around Ettridgeville. Apparently each household is charged 30 rand and every business 50 rand, apparently for protection, whether a person likes it or not. Are you aware of the extortion ring?
I saw this on TikTok, and I sent it to the chief of police, and I was asking if this is something that is known in the area, which area is affected. So it's something that I've given to the security cluster to look into. Of course, if we're going to do anything about it, we'll have to just understand exactly what's the nature of it and work with FEPS and, you know, and just get to the bottom of it. But I am aware. It's just that the communities that are normally subjected to such, they don't speak up, because you can understand if they're
afraid.
Being extorted,
yeah.
They're afraid. Mm. They don't report. Mm. And so I think the one of Ettridgeville, the moment I saw it, I just forwarded it to the chief of police and said, can you please get to the bottom of this and understand exactly in Ettridgeville what is happening there and what are the issues. But no one has ever reported it to me, but I am aware of it via TikTok. So I just need to work with the chief of police and the security guys to understand what is happening there.
Well, Mayor,
but it's quite unfortunate.
I really appreciate you talking to us. I know it's been very busy, but thank you so much, and a happy anniversary. I think, you know, we just wish you all the best until the elections next year.
No, thank you so much, Susan. Thank you for having me on your show.
Thank you. That's Tshwane Mayor, Dr. Nasi Pimoya.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.